Okay, this is a time, let's see, we've got the, we have time where we can talk, you know, with questions. We can stay on topic with our theme, like last night's message. One brother said to me, what the Spirit said to me last night about the church being built on a rock is, like, not to mess around with the church. Like, the church is really something from God that God is doing, and I don't mess around with the church. That's a good way of saying it, even though it's not, like, the best English. Like, don't mess around with the church. Help me, English speakers. What other way would we say it? Okay, don't be familiar. Don't mess around. Like, what other way? Don't be familiar. Don't attack it. Don't have an attitude about it. And also, another point is, like, just don't leave it. You know? Like, don't leave it. You have been baptized into it, you know? Now, if I leave, I once said I wanted to preach a message on how you leave a local church. And just a few points about it, like, guard your heart from what you say about it and what you say about the pastor. You guard your heart. Another thing is, when I go to the new one, when I go to the church, and because we have this, sometimes people move away. In our country, they may move to Florida, California, or Colorado, any place, of course. But, I mean, far away, or they move, then it's like, what spirit am I of when I go to the new church? What's my attitude towards the church? And it has something to do with maybe the church that I left. That I would say, you know, God is God. I am thankful for the church. And also, another side point to this subject is, we have in our country what you could call, like, mega church pastors, or pastors that maybe have a more less doctrinal presentation of their message. They're not so doctrinally sharp. That's to say it nicely. Okay. But I don't talk about them because I don't feel that's my place. They are my brothers and my sisters. I got plenty to do by just staying on topic myself. And people don't come to the church to listen to me be critical of the church. And even like the Catholic Church, which I came out of, that did not give me the gospel. They did not give me that. And that made me angry that I did not get the gospel and I was going there every week. You know, so I have a little bit of that in me, you know, this attitude about that. But at the same time, I have to say that I am thankful that they use the name of Christ. I am thankful that some of the priests are of God and they're doing a work by the grace of God, that some of them are probably have found grace. Some of them may be giving an anointed message. So I don't know. It's just not my business that the Lord didn't put me here to be a judge of my brother in Romans 14 and verse 4. So really, in a sense, last night, we are built on the rock, and the more you get to know the Lord and walk with the Lord, the more careful you are with how we respect the Lord's work and keep our eyes on it. Now, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a heretic, a Balaam, a demonic message, a demonic man, an evil man. We had a case here in Baltimore where a priest was, I think he was convicted of having murdered a nun and also defiled the pedophilia with little boys. And he was an evil man, apparently, you know. So terrible things can happen in the name of the church and in those... And so we realize that. But that being said, so we're not naive. There are warnings to the church. And Also, ministers are not infallible. Ministers fail. So what is my attitude towards a minister that fails, you know? It's like, I cannot be a judge, Matthew 7:1. That's not my role. My role is to love and serve, pray, edify, do outreach, compliment, you know. Yeah, you know that we're learning that. So I don't want to get off on our too far off of our subject being built on the rock. The other thing we can do in our wrap today is we can run the microphone. Here's Andy. He's got the microphone. We can run it to the pastor. You can tell us who you are, something if you want to ask a question or make a comment. So we have Romanians here. Is that correct? Romanians, Pastor Miha. It'd be great to hear from you, Pastor. We have also some Hungarians here, too. And the English, no? Do we have the English? Yeah, Pastor. Pastor Toll is right next to me here. And then Finch, right, too. Pastor Risto. Okay, so Pastor Dennis there. So let's do it that way. Let's just take the microphone to you. If you want to say something, you can. If you want to ask a question, you can. And the other possibility is not to say, you don't have to say anything. You can just pass the microphone onto the next pastor. We can use the pastors right now. Okay. Just bring it to it. Yeah.
So, do I just say my name? Yeah. Hi. This is Pastor Csaba from Hungary, Szeged, and we are happy that we are here. That's all.
Okay. Pastor Risto from Helsinki, Finland, and really happy to be here. And we're actually quite many people from Helsinki. Do you not raise your hand? Or? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful to be here, and really, really amazing theme, and last night's message was so, so good. And I thought there's a simple thing as was said, that like, how do you remain spirit-filled, or how are you spirit-filled? And it's just through the word, simply. And it's like such simplicity to the very core of why we're here. Like, reading, like was said, like, reading the word and by hearing the word preached, and that's how you are spirit filled. Because easily, like you said, Pastor, at one point that like we may do things out of a routine, and it doesn't mean that even if we do the right things that we are living in obedience, but like that obedience has to do with us submitting to the word and being, and that way we can be fresh and alive.
Hello, I am Mihail from Romania. My wife is here, Marie. And we have Andy and Adela. We have Marius and Simona there. Simona is for the first time here. Okay, so we are very blessed to be here. And we just have a continuous party. Our life is a party, and I will tell you some coordinates maybe you want to join. So we are here in Baltimore. Last week of June we have a children's camp with the children from the churches in Romania. First week of July we have Pastor Dragan from Vienna with us in Brasov and Bucharest. Second week of July, about 8 or 9 teenagers with Pastor Vali and his wife Mariana go to Budapest for the camp life. And we hope that will continue. It will be a refreshment for our teenagers. Third week of July, we go to the Czech camp and the Polish camp with other people from Romania. Fourth week of July, I don't think we do anything. And first week of August, we have our summer camp/conference. We have Pastor John Boyce and Pastor Michel Texier, and a group of people from Paris, even south of France, will come. And second week of August, we don't do anything, or we go to the Black Sea. And third week of August, we go to Serbia to be with Pastor Tamas there in Belgrade. So this is like our joy to be like that. And like we don't have time to say, oh, life is difficult and nobody loves us and nobody... We don't. This is wonderful. This is wonderful what we have.
Pastor Morley.
Oh. Hello. Okay. Pastor Tony Morley, London. And I'm having a relatively quiet summer. We don't get long summers in England, so I like to stay home and do a lot of evangelism. But we have one event coming up the first week of September, which we're looking forward to. Pastor Luigi Palmieri is coming for a conference with us in London for the weekend. So that will be very good. And then coming up later in the year, a group of us are going to Cyprus for our third annual missionary trip to Cyprus for a week. And the church there is growing, and we're very blessed by that. So that's something we're looking forward to. I think you will, I won't labor this point, but I think you've been hearing about London recently. We've just had our third terrorist attack in 2 months. This weekend just gone. And that's apart from the explosion that killed many people in Manchester. So we've had 4 terrorist attacks in the last 2 months. So I don't quite know what's going on, but I do know I've been praying a great deal for our city, and I know God is in control. That's the thing. I know it sounds simple, but that's the major thing God has impressed on my heart very, very strongly. I haven't lost control. I hear your prayer. I know what's going on. I'm hearing many prayers. I'm in control. Trust me. And but I appreciate any of your prayer for our city, because there's a lot of fear at the moment. And but didn't Jesus say that men's hearts will fail them for fear? But our prayer is that men and women will turn to God, because there's no other answer, is there? There's no other rock. Hey, God bless you.
Okay, sure. All right, so July, we are going to have the Helsinki International Bible Institute. We have Pastor Schaller coming, Pastor Tollis coming, Pastor Seragi, Richard Grubbs, Pastor Matti. Amazing 10 days of Bible teaching right in the middle of July, and after that we will have our summer conference. So if you are not Romanian and you don't have anything to do, we have some really good ideas. So please come and get a flyer from me, and there's a website you can find more information. Thank you.
Okay, Alistair from Chester in England, the other church up in the north. Thank you for your prayers for this last year. We've really needed them, but God is blessed. We have a Christian school there, so keep praying for that as well. It's not easy to have a Christian school in the UK at this season, but God is faithful and he gives vision. We're hoping as well, we're praying at the moment, these plans are formulating this week about possibly going up to Scotland again. So, if anybody would like. It's possibly in October, last week, October, somewhere around there. So if anybody would like to join us for that, maybe come and see us. So, praise God.
I'm Pastor Dennis Hewlett from Tirana, Albania. We're having Tomi back with us this summer, so we expect a great summer. We have our conference first week of August down in the south of Albania. We're also looking to go to Greece the second week for a missions trip, if anyone from Romania is not going to their other conference. It's straight shot right down to Thessaloniki, so we're hoping to do a trip there and maybe walk around a little bit of where Paul was, maybe go to Philippi just for a day trip or something, see what God will do. And I understand something's going on in Serbia the third week of August, so maybe we'll jump on that too. So it's great to be here. Appreciate the messages, especially the pastor's meetings. Great time this morning. Great thoughts. Great wisdom from the pastors there. Appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Elshan. I'm from Baku, Azerbaijan. But in a way, I represent Hungary because my wife is Hungarian. And we are glad to be in Baltimore. And then from here, we go to Budapest, Hungary. We'll spend there another month in July. Welcome to summer conference in Hungary. It will be in Kaposvár, I think. Yeah, and then also, I think it's first time we'll have their first international youth camp in Hungary. It will be like international body, youth body of the greater grace. So, and also I heard from Ferenc Göde that some group from different parts of Hungary will go to Serbia, to Zenta for end of June, beginning of July. So we are excited to go to Hungary and be with Pastor Kenda in Budapest and minister there. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tomáš. I am from Czech Republic originally, but now I am in Serbia, Belgrade. So Serbia is right now being impacted in two places. North of Serbia in Zenta, there is the work of Pastor Cornell, and me and my family, we are in Belgrade in central Serbia. It's an Orthodox country. But people don't know the scriptures there. They don't know the Bible. So they have some reverence of God, but they really don't know the character of God. So it's very easy to open up conversation with them. Most of the people speak English. It's not difficult to stop somebody and just say, hey, let's go for coffee and have a talk about Bible right on the spot. So we are very happy to be there. God is doing great things. We also want to be on a rock that is higher than we are, to have a higher view. So we are looking on whole Serbia in different regions and also the neighboring country. We visited Albania recently. And it was a great blessing for us. Thank you, Pastor Dennis and Jane. It was amazing. So we have a lot of friends in Greater Grace churches around us. Romania is quite close to us, and we've been visited number of times by Romanians already. So we are in Serbia just being loved and loved and loved, and we really enjoy it. And God is doing great things. So it's a great privilege for me to be here. And I'm very happy. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, my name is András from Hungary. Last summer we moved to southern Hungary, to a city called Pécs, with my precious wife. That is a lovely church, around 10-15 people. And there lives around 150,000 people in that city, and that is the biggest university there, more than 30,000 students, so there are a lot of young people. And just a short testimony that On November, we get to know some teenagers around 15, 16 years old, and I just accidentally give one little Bible, New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs that, hey, if you would like, you have some time, just read it. And in 1.5 months later, the guy just said that, hey, the Bible you gave me, I just read it, and it's really good. I didn't know that it is such good book. So he started to read it again. So he read it now more than 2 times, and he is challenging us that he's reading more Bible than us. And in April he got saved. So it's very good. God is working there.
Thank you.
It is, yeah.
So,
happy birthday, dear Mishako. Happy birthday to you.
You got to love your wife. She doesn't even have to be in the same country, and she can still put you on a spot, right? So, my name is Visa. I'm a former student of MBCNS. Still, the best 4 years I've had, recommend to anybody. And I'm leading the youth ministry in Helsinki. I have an amazing team. I have 2 team members here. Oh, there is the other one, and Mayu is the other one. Couldn't do it without them. And at the beginning, when I was still just watching how, you know, how everything is working in Helsinki. I'm originally from Jyväskylä, so Helsinki is a new area for me also. And just God put this one thing very strong in my heart, and he said that if you want to see something happen here, you need to pray. Like, I want to do things, but you have to pray for it. And it has grown, that thought. And so please pray for Helsinki. Please pray for our youth. There is a small group. They're really amazing. I love them all. And this is such a blessing to have the opportunity to spend time with them and just pour down our lives. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Michael from Stockholm, Sweden. Yes, thank you. Yes, one. That's really good. You know, it's growing. Maybe 2 before I leave. So it's amazing to be here. Amazing. I got in a little bit late because we were delayed because of the weather in New York. So all of a sudden, I was sleeping and I woke up and I thought we had arrived, but we were in Hartford, Connecticut, because they couldn't land in New York, so wrong place. So I got in a little late, and then I was on a train coming down from New York, and I was sitting right next to a lady, and they said, okay, Baltimore is next. And I said, yeah, this is not it. She just said Baltimore. Yeah, but that's not, I'm also getting off in Baltimore. Okay, so I just sat on a train, and then I realized that the next stop was BWI. You know, there's another. So I had to come back from BWI back into Baltimore. So I got in late, in other words. But this morning we had a meeting, of course, with the pastors. Very good, very fresh. And it's amazing, you know, to the body. I was thinking about this principle that you were just talking about, you know, when I move away, what is my attitude toward the church? And, I mean, in this ministry, we have always learned that, you know, we don't go somewhere and then, you know, okay, now I have a job, now I have school for the kids, now I have the, you know, all these things, we mark them off. But we think in terms of, you know, where is my church, you know, and I go there and I think of Matthew 6:33, where it says that, you know, we seek the kingdom of God first and all these, and his righteousness and all these other things will be added to us. And I think that is the, and what Visa Taiko said there, you know, God wants to do great things. Wow. You know, but you need to pray for it. And we do. And it's amazing. And I love this thing, you know, because in Sweden where I am, it seems like the churches are just closing down. I mean, one after another. There are some big churches, are very professional. They are in the bigger cities, you know, and so on. But it's just, they're just professional. I mean, there's no body life there. I mean, they have a paid staff. They do everything. And you go there and but there's no life. You know, people are not really involved with anything. And we're meeting these people all over the place, you know, and we are, you know, and they're looking for something. And we have something. We have the Word of God. We have teaching, you know, and we minister to different people. And I think that is the beauty of the body, that, you know, we are so unique. We just need to discover that. Sometimes I meet people, you know, they look at the body or they come to the church and they say that, well, there's nothing for me here, you know, because they are looking for people that are just like them. But that's not how we look at it. You know, we look at unique body members. And I have a quote here from Albert Einstein, a friend of mine. No, but everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid. In other words, you know, it's like, you know, we just need to find the uniqueness in the different members. And it's not difficult. You know, God will give us that ability very easily. And this morning, you know, Pastor Shallow shared some thoughts in the pastor's meeting. And he was just saying, you know, how Job had these men, three of them, around him. And they said all kinds of things to him, but they were not spirit-filled, you know. They were carnal. They gave human advice. It was based on observation. It was not based on the Word of God. But when we get the right counsel, like we do in a place like this, boy, it's like we will have that discernment. And we will find that not all people are called to climb trees, especially if they are fish. You know, it's amazing. So the body is a treasure, and this is the treasure, you know, and I'm really excited to be here.
Ooh, good. Thanks. Wow. Oh, yeah. Let's, you know, go over that a little bit, because it's, what I think is happening in our country, Pastor Toll, is similar. It goes like this. There's not a lot enough pastors in our country. So churches, there are a number of cases. We just have another one that happened where a Baptist church was 400 people, goes down to 5 people. They have a building. They have it all, but they have no pastor. So one of our men, he started a little church, Jay Esterbrook, up in York. And then they're knocking on doors, and they knock on the door of one of the elders, this elder who's like the only guy left. I think there were 5 people in the church, but the one elder, one assistant, he said, "We're looking for a pastor." So anyway, make a long story short, they have, with their bylaws, they have moved to become Greater Grace. Pastor Jay is the pastor. Now there's 100 people there. Okay, so that's a good story. But then how many sad stories are there with the churches closing their doors? So now what did the Christians do? What did the Christians do? But they go to some mega church, if there is one. What are they going to learn in the megachurch? It depends on the megachurch. There are some old school megachurches. I think our church is like that. I think our church is, they say a megachurch is over 1,000 people. So like we have, but it's old school in the sense that we are not so much after the numbers, but we're after people to be get rooted and grounded, right? And have a personal walk with God, okay? But it's a lot of people to manage. But to go to the other scenario, mega church is 1 hour, 59 minutes maybe. They'll even advertise, you know, the service starts at 9:11 and it ends, they go to the minute because they want the people to know that it's organized and it's just to the minute. They have the music, they have a light message, simple teaching, they have a program for the kids, and then they are dismissed. Now, they may not preach about being born again. They may not, they will, some of them, I'm not saying everybody, and be careful to understand where I'm going with this. I'm talking about the United States of America losing its Christian roots and foundation. I'm talking about a moving away from our faith. Now, what happens, you could believe in Jesus, but don't bring it into the politics. Believe in Jesus, but don't bring it into the university. Believe in Jesus, but don't believe it into the sport, bring it into the sports. Or bring it into like no sex before marriage, or bring it into these public forms. And it's the same in the Roman Empire. The reason why Christianity got in trouble in the Roman Empire is because they were bringing it in to their culture. And they were bringing it into their society. And that's what the devil doesn't want to happen. So the mega churches, there's a weakness, and that is the watering down of the Christian. Because you and I know that the way we got our conviction was just what Pastor Toll said, the Holy Spirit giving me a personal relationship with my Bible. You know, that's the thing. The sword of the Spirit is what? Holy Spirit. You say the Holy Spirit is enough. Holy Spirit does everything. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is, yeah, but why does it say the Spirit has a sword? Because the Holy Spirit is enough, but he needs a sword, and that's the Bible. So the Bible, so would you like to just like you and I are talking about it, can you say something? Yeah, just to repeat like what we're talking about. The watering down, like if there's five guys that want to really walk with Jesus, but where are they going to go? But you're going to have a Bible study, you know, two streets over, take a left, go down three streets, take a right, go up the stairs, and there's a little group of seven people. And they're going to open the Bible and have prayer, and that's the church. And they're going to go out of there, and you know how they say goodbye? They come down the stairs, and they say, see ya, okay, bye, and then, okay, bye, see you next, you know. Wait, see you tomorrow. Bye. Love you. Okay, you know, move along there. No, bye. It goes on and on. We have a hard time saying goodbye when God is moving. And in the really here in Baltimore, the service ends, and even 2 hours later, there's people that are still here. You know, we kicked them out on the sidewalk. They're out under the sidewalk, sitting out there. Now, there are people that stay here all day until the evening service. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But I just want to say, we are in a battle, and it is sad when the young men say, you know, I'm going to be an engineer, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a teacher, and so on. Well, what about being a pastor? I don't know anything about that. I don't even know about that as an option. I never hear about that in my church. I don't have any examples to follow. And I mean, we in our particular places are examples. If I lived in Romania and I met Pastor Mihail, I'd say, you're very busy this summer. And he'd say, yeah, we're busy, but it's a joy. And what are you doing all that time? It sounds like your vacation. It's really rich, you know. So Finland that is happening in these places, and Hungary, like Pastor Andras is saying, Pastor Toll in Sweden. And I'm saying without it, if we are not doing it, there's a great loss. And I don't know what plan B is. I don't know what will happen, you know, with this. And I'm not saying this, the seminaries in the United States, I thank God for all of them that are doing a good job, but some of them are not doing a good job because they're very liberal, very academic, very scholarly. And if you asked any of them, do they ever go out on the street? Do they ever go out there and preach the gospel? And are they, and it's like they're just maintaining. So mainline denominations are losing millions of members. They are closing their doors. Their seminaries are stale and old. And there's just, God is saying, like, follow me. And if you, you know, I will lead and guide you. So that's a comment.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing thoughts. But we can be different, and we are different, if we make sure that we are, built up. Is this on, or am I just my voice being weak or something? Oh, okay, because I heard you, but I don't hear myself. It is on, right? That's what it is. Okay, great. I think in our ministry too, somebody came to our church a while ago, a few years ago, and they mentioned that they were going to a certain church, maybe about 60 kilometers south of Stockholm. That's 37, 38 miles for those who don't know metrics. So it's far out and enough, so far out that it's not really a suburb, but it's close to Stockholm. So, my wife and I, we just went down there, and we were walking. It's a little town, and we walked by a church, and there was this billboard outside, and we read a little bit, and it was interesting. They had activities, you know, and we said, this must be the church that this girl talked about, and they had, I think, prayer three times a week. And, but not much other things. And I know they don't have a pastor. Then Pastor Johan Tuiku came to visit. And so we drove down, and we were in the same city there. And that's when you called. We were out there on an island, you know, all of a sudden you called. Yeah, and then it's like, then we walk by, and we see a couple walking into the church. So I just run after them. Stopped them and said, we are believers. Can we come in and talk to you? And I said, yeah, please, you know. So we were with them for a while there, and they were just describing the situation of the church. They said, there's not much going on. And then, Pastor Magnus and Judy, who are in the southern part of Sweden, they came a little later. So we drove down again, and we saw that they had, Saturday night worship and prayer meeting or something. So we went in there and just sat, you know, in the audience, and there were maybe 20 people or so. And it was a good time, and the person leading it, they said maybe a couple of words, but not much substance. And then afterwards they open up and said, can you, you know, whoever wants to say something. So I just went up and talked and really edified them. I said, you know, this church, you have a lot of prayer. It indicates that you want to see something happen and so on. And then I brought in a few verses and a few thoughts and all that. And we were invited, you know, to one couple there, you know, and like a barbecue party. And all of a sudden there was like a Greater Grace church there. I mean, we had a rap session, you know, and people were just all over the place. There were questions, and we're going to come back and do a concert. If some of the Finns could come over and do the concert. I can preach, but I can't play and sing, you know. So, but I'm just thinking about the uniqueness of our ministry. I remember one time, I think it was in Austria, there was this one guy, you know, he was asked, like, could you take over the Bible school? And he said,
well, I don't know. And he said, okay, I'll take over the Bible school. And somebody handed him a plastic bag. And, you know, that was the Bible school. There were a couple of books and a few papers in there and a couple of tapes. Here's the Bible school. And he just walked away. And I'm just thinking, and then Pastor Mati was talking about, I think it was in Uzbekistan, you know, they had a graduation, and the people there graduated from a school that doesn't exist, you know, because it's illegal, you know, so there is no church, and yet we had a graduation. And this is so much greater grace, you know, in that sense that, you know, we can just create something out of nothing. It's not us, but it's the Spirit of God. And I love this thing, you know, that, you know, if there's a plastic bag with a couple of tapes and a few papers there, you know, that could be a Bible school. And you don't need to be recognized to have a Bible school. And there are so many things like that we can do. And I just love this thing that we can reach out and in the south, we have, like I said, another church with Pastor Risto. Actually was there for 13 years in Malmö. And Pastor Magnus is there now. And he doesn't really go to the big cities. He goes to, like, small places and, you know, find one person there, maybe one family there. And then they have meetings. And I think I think you talked about that in Finland years ago, pockets of believers that, you know, there is a person here, a few there. And because I always been thinking about, you know, we should go do Stockholm and then Gothenburg and Malmö and Uppsala. You know, I like statistics also, so I know the you know, how big the cities are. So you're kind of just walking your way or working your way down the list. But really, I think that we should also look into these smaller places and see who is there and who, you know, because it might be just one person and you bring that message. And you know, they respond, and you never know who's coming out of there and you know, where God will bring them. And it doesn't really matter if, you know, one person will be connected, they can move somewhere. I mean, in this day and age, you know, people are so mobile anyway. So even if it doesn't become a church, you can still pull somebody out of there and you know, they can be added to another local church somewhere. But the local church is so important, you know, and it doesn't have to be big. I mean, like, you know, you win a soul and then you sit down and teach that soul. I mean, this is church right there, you know, and that's how simple it is, you know.
So. That's good. Yeah, that's really also humorous. It is. Huh? It is. Well, that's edifying and encouraging. So actually, maybe this afternoon we could have some Bible schools made up in plastic bags over here. So when you leave, you can pick up your Bible school on the way out. it's like so many stories can be told. Things that have been done by amazingly precious people. Yeah. Isn't it true too, even as maybe the church is weak in Europe and also here, it's growing in China. God has moved in Korea, South Korea, and our prayer for Japan. I asked Dr. Chung, who lives in Tokyo as a surgeon, and he said, you know, there are Japanese believers, and he said, you know, my heart is stirred to see God move in Japan, which for many of us is like, wow. And so when I was talking to him, I asked him about their, like, who do they pray to and what do they do? And he told me, he and Natalie said, you know, they will take some rice paper and write their problem on the rice paper. And then they go to this water and throw it in the water, and they watch it dissolve. And the idea is that their problem dissolves with the paper, you know, in the water. And I said, wow, that sounds, does it work? You know, it's like, well, what a great idea. But I mean, you know, does it really? So he said they are very, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's Buddhism and Shintoism and superstition, but they kind of laugh at it themselves a little bit, even though they do it seriously. Like, you know, they pay money to the, in the, to, as they worship, in the temple, you know, but then they, when you are with them talking, they realize it does sound like funny, or it is kind of, they don't have the assurance. They don't have the confidence, you know. You know, because they know in their own hearts, you know, there's questions about the whole thing. And so, there's a hunger there. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Monday at the luncheon, you said to talk with someone, ask someone if they've talked to someone about God recently. And so I asked the guys behind the counter that were working. And, well, I figured that was the idea, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm just joking. Okay. So, and one guy said that his parents had gotten divorced and he was in the Lutheran church and it didn't have much for them in their situation. And I said, well, I know what that's like. Like, our families have come out of religious backgrounds too, Catholicism. And I said, well, the speaker, yeah, he was in Finland and he was ministering in a Lutheran country. And so we encounter that all over the place. And I said, well, we're in the city. You're out here. And he said, actually, I live in Havre de Grace. So, you know, I gave him the website on a napkin, in Greater Grace style. No, okay. He said he wants to look it up for him and his mom. Him and his mom are looking for a church. And, yeah, so that's great. Yeah, it's such a simple question, like, hey, has anyone talked with you about God in the last few days? I just thought it's such a great, simple conversation starter. And you never know who's looking for God, and that's amazing. Like, there's this young guy behind the counter. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking too also that, you know, if you don't have teaching, what do you have? In the church that I just mentioned about, the man who is, he's not the pastor, but he's in charge of the church there. They have a little board. And he was just telling me, like, you know, they had a sort of a vision for something. But the vision was built on what he called a prophetic message, that somebody had walked into the church and said something, but it was so subjective. You know, they thought that, well, this is going to happen. And it seemingly happened for a while, and then it just stopped, you know. And so it's like there's this false hope, too. You know, you build it on something else, but not the Word of God. But, you know, we don't need those type of visions. You know, the visions are born when we start teaching the Bible. And when we do that, this is where, you know, the vision will grow. And I'm just thinking, you know, how, you know, they were grasping for something. They wanted a hope, you know, that this is, you know, going to happen. And somebody had uttered some prophetic words, you know, but it was not really anything there. And I think that they have realized that, you know, just to go there and bring up two verses and say something about it, apparently that was to them a lot of substance. So, you really hope that, you know, you can bring in that substance from the Word of God, because that is what really changes people.
Remember Lydia, her heart was open to listen to Paul, and it must have been, you know, wow, what a combination, Lydia and Paul, you know, wow. But not everybody felt that way when they listened to Paul. Acts 17, the very end, some mocked, some said, we'll hear him again, and some cleaved to him. So we have three responses. Just thinking about Sweden and other European places where, you know, the devil would like to intimidate us and say, you know, they won't listen to you. They're not interested, you know. And there is that on the surface response, like, you know, I don't believe in God, you know, or I don't care, or I don't believe in God, and so on. But, That might be just another way of saying, you know, I'm not interested, or of saying, I don't have time, or, you know, just being that way. But it doesn't mean that there isn't a great hunger and a great opportunity. It can be, if you can get beyond that, you know, in a relational way, by being with a person, listening to them, talking. I feel in our church, what happens, Pastor Toll said it, when we get fed, we actually get fed words, and we carry them. And, you know, you can't build a house on a rolling stone, okay? So you say that at work on Monday. And somebody will say, where did you hear that? Where did you learn that? Oh, I learned that at my church. At your church? What church do you go to? And then they may come. I've seen that happen. It happens a lot, actually. Like, our people, if they are fed, they will rise up in a conversation. They might be the last to speak. Remember Job's friends? He had four of them. The three did all the talking. At the end, it was the guy that had the word that really hit the target. So, at work, you might be the last one. Well, one body member shared with me the other day, she said, at work, when we were doing our march on Saturday, she said, at work, this woman at work at the hospital, she like hated me. And she didn't like me because she's in our church here. I'm a Christian. And for some reason, this woman hated me. But when 9/11 happened, that morning, she came running to me and took me by the arms and said, what is going on? What is going on? You know, she came to me and asked me to explain to her what is going on when the planes flew into the towers in New York and the world starts to crumble, you know. Yeah, so don't underestimate the value of your pulpit, the value of your library. Look at, we have our books here, you know, and we want people to be reading and learning. They say that because of the technology today, you know, people are reading less, like the way that we used to read, you know, like, you know, when we had to in school. And there's like changes going on. And we want to teach our people to listen and also read and also be quiet and also to shut down and be quiet and to pray and to learn. These are amazing skills, and they can be learned in the church. And then they will end up talking and sharing and ministering. And that's what, there is a famine in the land, Amos, the book of Amos, and it's not of bread. And in our country, our refrigerators are full of food. Our stores are full of food. Our garages are filled with stuff. Walmart can't import enough stuff to China, from China, to sell. I mean, in our country, there is so much prosperity and there's so much wealth, but there's a famine. They say now that in marriages, two husband and wife come home and they're on their iPhones in the living room. And they're both are texting each other. No. So they're both reading. Honestly, I read this thing about it. It's like amazing. Like, what is going on? So, not to emphasize the point. The point is that church is what is needed in the life of a person. And we know it, and we want to propagate it. And you're doing a great job at it. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Wow, that's a great way to close. No, let's not close. Let's close. Let's not. Any closing comment or question? Yes.
I don't know why I feel led to say this, but
yeah, sure.
You know, I don't know what the Europeans think about what's going on in America these days with our president and things like this, but we hear so much, you know, and I really feel God wants to do something in this country, and he is, obviously, but especially with this administration, and it just seems like to me that the gates of hell are really trying to resist a lot of stuff. And I would say don't believe a lot of the stuff you hear. And, you know, one of the things Trump said before he got elected, he surrounded himself with a lot of evangelicals. And he said, you know, one of the problems is you fellas have gotten soft. He said this to the, he says, I don't mean any disrespect. He says, who am I? He says, I'm a businessman. You guys have the word of God. I thought, that's amazing coming from this man, you know. And I don't even know if he's a born-again believer or not, but he's right about that, you know, in terms of what the country needs is us. It needs us to be like what you're saying, Pastor Schaller. So I just wanted to share that and ask our European and other friends to, again, just stay in prayer with us for this time. It's a very critical time. Amen.
Yeah, very good. Well said. Oh, yeah, we got a, I said it in the golf tournament yesterday. Vilmos, I don't know if Vilmos is here. Vilmos, do you want to say it in your own words? That in the communist world, you knew what communist propaganda was, but now that he lives in America, it's the same thing. So he can share it. It's like fascinating.
Yeah, I think I was saying that, it was easier for us under oppression to know who the real enemy was, because like there was a small group of people, you know, the communist leadership, who really oppressed the whole country, the whole Soviet bloc, actually. And so if you were not part of the group, it was easy to identify, you know, who are the oppressors, who are the ones who, you know, hold the microphone all the time and don't want to take the hard questions. And it was easy to see through the lies in the, you know, in the media, all the propaganda. And now it's similar, but I think we are in a worse situation that we cannot identify the enemy. It's hiding very well behind the scenes. And I think it's something similar when you had with Jezebel, that everyone was afraid of her. Only Elijah was able to resist her for a while, because like even the priesthood in there in Israel back then, they were afraid. God said he has 7,000 men, but they didn't know about each other, so everyone was afraid, everyone was withdrawn in their own circles, and they cannot identify the lie. So it's something like, I think, one cause of the problem with the church today, it's that we really don't have feet. So we are in defense all the time. So we are afraid to identify the enemy. So until we don't do that, I think we will recede all the time.
Yeah, well, very good, very good. Identifying, discerning the enemy. Wow, like what is the enemy, you know? What? Let's say a few things. Traditional family is male and female. That's traditional family. I am for that. A baby in a mother's womb, I am for that, right? Those are social issues. Listen to me, this is important. Because we are not primarily political. But I have to say this, that because we are moral and because we are social, then we are political. Okay? But I don't have to be talking about a political party, but I have to be talking about us living as a community. That what if there's something wrong, then we should discern it. How we talk about it, that's another thing, because I'm not talking primarily about political issues. I'm talking about spiritual issues, but they have political consequences, you know, and back and forth, yes. Freedom, you know, the freedom to say things. without being without fear. This is our heritage in our country. We're a free people. We have free press. And just it doesn't go one way. Also, free speech can be offensive speech. I can offend you. It's not hate speech. It's offensive, but it's free speech. You know, so there are things that we are watching. I'm not making a big deal about it, but I just want to make a point that that Vilmo said. In that the other society, it was easier because they were representing the party, and they had the control, and they had their party speech. In this society, it's harder to discern and recognize. But let's recognize it for what it is. I'm not saying that I go to the pulpit and I'm giving a political speech, but I am going to the pulpit and I'm praying that people will have discernment about where what is the enemy, where does it fall, what is the point, and I'm not going to please people. I mean, there are people that are mega churches. This is another thing. They don't want to bring up social issues. They don't say things are sinful, adultery. They do not. We have it. It's said, it's well known that some of these pastors, when they're interviewed, they will say, the interviewer will say, well, will you bring up issues on abortion and these things? And the pastor will say, no, I don't bring up those things. Because people have enough pressure in life, and I don't want to bring up those things. And that's his philosophy. Think about it this way. People have trouble at home. People have trouble at work. And they come to the church, and I give them trouble at church. What about that? Okay? And the answer to that is, yes, maybe. Maybe that's exactly what they need. They need to get some trouble in the church so they get right with God. God say, don't do them any good if they can live in adultery and they are never convicted. It doesn't do them any good if they can live any way they want to and they don't have any conviction. You know, I'm not helping them. Now, so because we have a big church, then I have to realize what target are we shooting for. I want to keep as many people coming here as possible. But why do I want them to come? So they will get convicted, get helped, get encouraged, and be motivated to have a relationship with God personally. That's fun. Then if they get a relationship with God, they won't be offended. Great peace have they that love your word and not be offended. And if you're one of those believers that get offended by everything the pastor says, then take another look at your own heart. Because there is a great falling away that happens because people can't endure the rebuke or the exhortation. And I don't know. That's just a good question. I want them to endure it. But I mean, I won't be able to say anything. I can read poetry in the pulpit, and that's about all I can do. If that's what this is about, you know, I'm going to end up, but if, you know what I mean? I guess maybe living with their girlfriend is a big issue. So how do we handle that? You know, the guy that, you know, in this sexual era, climate we live in, that people live with their girlfriend, they come to church. And how do we deal with that, you know? Well, I want them to get that straightened out. I want them to get married, and I want them to live, you know, I'd like to see that happen. And so that does happen. So, but I don't preach about it. But it does happen, and maybe I do preach about it. It does come through. But like one woman who came here, I'm just talking now, but... This woman came here, new believer, like amazing, but she said, you know, I'm a union leader. I was a union leader. I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm just, you know, but I'm born again and I'm in this church. But I get a feeling like everybody in this church is a Republican. Well, I thought, well, she's got some discernment. I guess she. And I said, well, are you going to stay? She goes, I don't know if I'm going to stay here. I said, well, listen, I want you to stay. It's, you know, I want you to stay, and because you're walking with God, and that's the point. Walk with God. Your voting is your business. That's not my business, by the way. Now, I got a funny, an interesting story that brings a little light in the subject. In African Americans are generally, you know, Democrats, okay? And we have a lot of them here in our church, okay? So one around election time, I'm sitting outside after service, and this woman sits down. And she was looking at me. She goes, I got one question. I go, okay. So she's taking her time. Very few words. She goes, transgender. So I'm waiting for it to be put into a question. And she goes like this, not right. You know. I go, yeah, I don't think it's right either. That was the end of the conversation. Okay. Do you know what she's saying? Like, you know, we had a few more words, but she's saying, she said, I've been a Democrat all my life. Transgender. Not right. So you know what the conflict is? That she is walking with God and she has a political allegiance, but that political allegiance is running into her faith and her conviction about things, and she's trying to process this. Like, how can I belong to a party or be in a party that is ungodly like that? That is reinforcing these things. I mean, as a general way, okay? You know, I don't know. It's not, I'm just telling you, I'm a pastor. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of different views. And there's no way, I don't have any answer for these people. And I'm not telling them what to do. And I'm trying to stay out of trouble in one way. And I just walk with God, because walking with God is what it's about. But I asked Pastor Carl, who is in India, you know Pastor Carl in India. I go, when a Hindu becomes a Christian, do you teach about reincarnation? And he said, no. I said, well, how do the Hindus that become Christians, how does that? He goes, the Holy Spirit does it. He said, I don't teach about it. I said, well, what happens? He said, after a month, they understand that it's not true. That we are here, we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. If I'm not born again, I'm lost. And there isn't any reincarnation. And so that's a very interesting point. I like it. Like in Europe, you just stay on and magnify Jesus Christ and manifest Christ, and people get their lives straightened out and they can figure it out. If abortion is right or wrong, okay, that's their business. And many other, these other issues too. And I don't really have to say much about it, but I do want to lead them to get into the book, Walk in Humility and Be Spirit Filled. And there's always going to be some that are arrogant. They are arrogant Christians. They can be Christians and they are arrogant and they look for fights. And they have their opinions and they walk around and they cause trouble. Yeah, no church needs that. But to be slow to speak and very humble and very loving, and we can stay on target and live in a difficult time and have an effect in our country and in our world. And I liked how you said it about President Trump, like, I mean, the point is not really him. The point is that there is a huge media that is against anything that is, I mean, I won't say totally, but I mean generally, like, it's amazing. And you ask Steve Anilonis, who's a professional journalist, he said journalism has gone into the tank. journalism is not professional like it used to be, and it's a dangerous time. And Vilmos said it in his own words. I like that. And then he said the people are afraid of Jezebel. Wow. Afraid of Jezebel. Let's leave our rap today with that in mind. Say it to your neighbor. People are afraid of Jezebel. And you're dismissed.
Two announcements. There's the outreach at 2 o'clock leaving from Grace Island. And then at 5:30, there's workshops happening in the Fellowship Hall and Classroom 2 right here. They're going to be on spiritual life in the home, and there's going to be a writer's workshop with Pastor Steve Angelonis. So 5:30 here.